Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
One of the things that's changed in the last few weeks while we've been wandering has been that the creche has been remodeled. So if you get a chance to go out there and have a look, thanks, Chris, for all the work you did on that and all of the other people that were giving a hand. That is just awesome. And I, like, especially want to thank, everybody too. I mean, we're back here this week. God is absolutely doing something in our hearts and lives here. But I particularly want to thank all of the people from our production team, because they have worked harder than anybody else, to be honest, over the last 4 weeks while we have been out and about and thinking how fun it was to be in a new location. But they're the ones who've been here packing up at 7 o'clock in the morning and, you know, getting us and setting up. It's just so much work to do that. Why don't we give them a great hand? And Stuart as well. Yeah, that's been a massive effort. But we're back, and I don't know how you feel, but I feel discontent. And I think it's a holy discontent, because I think, you know, it kind of came out of the blue for all of us when we found out 3 days before Mother's Day that we weren't allowed to meet here, for we didn't know how long it was going to be. But God knew all along. And I just have this feeling that he might have done the whole thing to shake us out of our tree. See, the whole thing is falling down around us. It's time to go. But, you know, I think God's doing that. I mean, it's not as if we've been sitting on our backside not actively seeking out a building. Let me tell you, we have been looking and looking and looking. But I just feel like something that God's done in this last month of being nomads and being led by the pillar of fire and cloud is that it's really time to move. It's really time to move. And God, and I think he's stirred something in our hearts. God, we need a permanent home. And this one isn't it. This one's temporary. We've been renting for a long while. It's time to move on and grab hold of what God's got for us. Amen? Are you up for that? Yes, I am. I really feel like that's what God's been stirring in our hearts. Is a tall person... Oh, no, you're just moving down the front. I thought you were going to go and fix it for us. But we're just going to leave it as artistic installation artwork. Yeah, no, it's all good. It's fine. Just a couple of things. Ron's away this weekend. Pray for him. He's probably in his last message about now. He has been at Batemans Bay Church Camp for the weekend, but he's had no voice. And he's been preaching for a number of sessions. I spoke to him really briefly last night. And believe it or not, in between sessions, he was going to his room just so that he didn't speak to anybody. Like, this is the man who usually would be playing soccer, swimming, you know, doing whatever was going on at the camp and fully throwing himself into the lot. And so that he didn't use his voice, he's had to go and hide away. So I think he's just got through, but pray for complete healing of that. And, of course, blessing for the marvelous fellowship down at Batemans Bay. That's where Tepper and Joe are the pastors, and we love them. And so good to be sharing with them and able to do that. Andrew's going to be sharing the word with us today. But before he does, I want to give just a kind of a little bit of an update on some of the stuff around our missions program and where exactly we're up to with that, and also what's happening with Andrew and Maya. And anyway, Jason and I talked about some slides, but I didn't get to go back to him. So I'm hoping they're all got sorted out. I communicated effectively to him what I wanted to have on these slides. So just so that you know, every month people give so, so generously into Missions Faith Promises. And I wanted to make sure that we all kind of had a bit of a picture of what happens with that. So some of the things that happen every month, month in, month out, are that we give $500 a month to Tony and Annette Higgs, who we know have been in the south of Thailand for many, 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 many years. I'm not going to talk about all that. I'll be here for hours. Then we give $300 a month to Matt and Sarah Lasmana, who are based in Xi'an, to help support their work. and $200 a month to Paul and Deb Hilton. And that's fairly recent for us. We've been supporting other work in Vietnam that they've been doing. But just recently they had a bit of shortfall, just $200 a month in what their budget monthly budget was. And we were thrilled to be able to step up to the plate and say, we want to support these amazing people and the work that they're doing in Vietnam. So I'm sure you're all really, really happy with that. I'm just going to get sidetracked just for a second to show you something amazing that Kirsten made, which I'm so excited about this. Some of you might know, if you've had a baby in the last few years, that Kirsten has probably given you a beautiful quilt. And Kirsten and I had a chat just over a month ago probably, wasn't it, about whether or not she might be able to make a quilt for Matt and Sarah. So Ron's going to be in China in about a week, and he's going to take this over with us. It's got beautiful Australian birds and animals. Thank you, Kirsten. It's just beautiful. And like when we're praying for our missionaries and supporting them, we really want them to know that they're part of our family. And they're part of our, you know, they belong with us. And we're actually the home church for Matt and Sarah. So like, this is just one little way that we can bless them. And it's just awesome. Now, don't flood Kirsten with orders. She is a genius at this kind of thing. And she loves doing it. But she's about to have her third baby herself. So she probably doesn't have oodles and oodles of spare time. Give her at least 6 weeks after the baby's born before you start saying, Kirsten, will you make me one too? Okay, all right, so that's awesome. So some of the other things that we do with Faith Promises every month, and Jason can put this next one up for us, we also support, just for $50 a month, that's at Fellowship of Muslim Background Believers in the south of Thailand. It's just a little bit, but that's something that we're giving into. We put $100 a month into ACC International to support the organization overall of what we're doing in missions. As well as that, and these are not done sort of regular monthly, many, many people give regularly into Tam Lop, which is the village that we're supporting in Vietnam. And I think that we're going to be able to spend, it's about $4,000 or something, that because of the giving over the last 12 months since the team has been and everybody's sewing in regularly, we've got $4,000 for the team to take with them to invest into the village in just a few weeks' time. So that is just awesome. So, like, these are all some of the things that are happening with your faith promises as we're giving into that all of the time. As well as that, of course, every day we have our annual one-day event where people commit to giving one day's salary into special missions projects. And honestly, we usually give about $3,500 or $4,000 as a church every year into that, which is amazing. Are you feeling good? Are you feeling happy to be supporting all of this stuff all around the world and to know this is City Life International, if you like? This is what we're doing. Now, as well as that, we have to spend a few dollars every now and then to do things like print the missions envelopes. So a little bit of money goes into boring stuff. But we also, it does give us enough that when a special project comes up, when Ron has to go to China, for example, that sort of thing, that there's enough money in the budget to cover some of those additional expenses. And when one of our missionaries says, we've got a specific need, we've got enough money to go, here, we want to bless you. Here, you know, you need this for this. Like, for example, that Church of Muslim Background Believers a while ago now, I suppose, they needed a guitar. And so we were able to say, here's money for a guitar because you need it for your church. And it's just so awesome to have the blessing that we're able to do that. Okay, but the big news, which is not new news, that in five weeks, and I'm not going to try and say too much because I am in denial about this entirely, okay? In 5 weeks, Andrew and Maya are moving to Cambodia. Woohoo! Does that say together? It's the Khmer, says. Yeah, I read the English. I was okay on that one. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Khmer says together. Yeah, okay. So You can follow them on Facebook. You can look at the website. I'm sure Andrew's going to talk maybe a little bit more about... Are you going to talk a little bit about what you're doing today? Not a lot. They can. I'm thinking, we have not organized this yet, but the weekend before they leave will be the 4th of July. I think on that Saturday night we ought to have a party. What do you think? Yeah? Yeah. All right. Come and see me after church if you want to help organize the party. I think we ought to have a party that Saturday night. I was thinking about Sunday night, but then I thought all the Shell Harbour people can't come if we make it a Sunday night party. So maybe we ought to make it a Saturday night party. But anyway, watch this space because we do want to have a farewell for that. But we are very, very privileged for them. And our goal and our promise to them is that we're going to be supporting them for $1,000 a month as part of their service. So why don't you give God a good hand? Because that's what we're going to be able to do for them. Now, that's not their whole support. They've got some other supporters and churches, particularly in Queensland, and they're going to be doing some work when they're there too. The exchange rate's not that friendly in Cambodia at the moment because everything, believe it or not, there the currency is the US dollar. And so that's that kind of adds a bit of a complicating factor. But that's what's going to be happening there. And also, fortunately, because of our missions projects, we're going to be able to help them with some of their setup costs. You know, they're going to have to be able to buy a car, for example, when they get there. Either that or they can just get a tuk-tuk everywhere forever. What do you think? A car might be good? Okay, all right. Okay. They could maybe they could just buy a tuk-tuk. Anyway, so that's going to be your extra word. But you know, there's like the support for them, and like I showed you that you know Matt that Kirsten made deliberately the quilt because the support for them is about so much more than just about the money. The money is important. The money speaks, the money matters, okay? It really, really does. But it's all about much more than the money. It's about how we say, you are our workers representing us as a church in another part of the earth. And so our support is so much more than that. And I think there's a few things that we need to do. And the first one, and I'm hoping that Jason got this up, is that actually we need to be informed. Oh, we missed that one. Never mind. Darn. Be informed. Find out. Ask them. Talk to them. Get to know. Read about Cambodia. Find out as much as you can so that you're really informed about what's happening there. Oh, there it is. We found it. Well done, Jason. Then we need to pray. Then we need to pray constantly, day in, day out. People need to commit to praying every day. People need to commit to praying every week, okay? And we need that so desperately. Encourage. Encourage. Send cheerful messages, okay? Do things. Think about ways that you can lift them up. Not just Andrew and Maya. Paul and Deb, Matt and Sarah, okay, Tony and Annette, all of them, so that we're looking for ways to encourage and to lift up, but also, of course, to give and to make that commitment to give financially. Amen? Amen. So we want to do all of that. Now, along with all of our missionaries, as I said, all of this money actually comes out of what you have already promised in faith promises. And in case you don't know, there's... The green envelopes, because it's a Mission Sunday and we've got an opportunity to receive these today, it's a different bank account number, okay, to the other church bank account for faith promises and missions giving. It's a different bank account number. But this is what we do. So as you give in to your faith promises, what I've shown you there this morning, that's where the money's going. And it's doing all of that stuff. If at any time you feel that God lays it on your heart, and you think, you know, I've just been praying for Paul and Deb this morning, and I really feel like God wants me to do something extra, then you can always grab an envelope, put some money in it, and write that on, or you can transfer it into the account and just write Paul and Deb, and that money will be allocated specifically to them as an extra blessing. If you want to do that for Andrew and Maya as an extra blessing, but for any of our missions projects, you can do that. But remembering, of course, that it's our faith promises that keep everything day in, day out, happening, running smoothly all of the time. So everybody's basic needs are covered, and we need to keep all of that happening. Last year, we outgave our faith promises. as a church. Can you believe that? We are what God laid on our hearts. Actually, we shouldn't be surprised, should we? What God laid on our hearts as a church to give when we had our missions week last year, we actually as a church exceeded that amount of money in the 12-month period. So that's more blessing. That's more projects. That's more things that we're just able to do, okay, over and over. So that is just awesome. Okay, so this year I'm believing that we're going to exceed it again. Yeah, I'm believing that we're going to exceed it again. Why don't we just pray for a moment, okay? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your work across the world. Lord, we thank you so much that you love Wollongong, that you love our city, that you love this country. But your love is not limited just to one place, God. Every person on the earth is loved by you and needs to hear of the great love of God. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for every part of missions that we are involved in today. Lord, we want to thank you for where you have led us, how you've guided us over so many years to supporting all of these different areas of mission. And Lord God, we thank you. We pray for your blessing on each and every one of those couples and families, Lord God, as they serve you in the different parts of the earth. We are so privileged to partner with them as they serve you, Lord. We pray for Andrew and Mayor, especially, Lord God, in this last month of preparation before they leave, for your anointing on them, for your peace in their hearts, for a joy in their spirits, Lord God, and for the abundant provision of every need, not just financial ones, Lord God, but every need. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, why don't you give Andrew a great welcome? He's going to come and share the word with us.
Mom. Thanks, everybody. Welcome again to church. It's great to be here, isn't it? Yes? Is it good? You found the place all right? Yeah? Almost got lost. It's good to be here. Yeah, as Mum was sharing, like, we really appreciate the support, not just the giving, but everything and the love and the care. And I know for us, you know, just to hear from people and to talk to people is really exciting. So if you think of us, it's only 5 weeks and we're gone, so send us a message on Facebook or something, because it makes a big difference. So just thank you for that. It's a crazy kind of season for us as we get ready. People keep asking me if I'm excited, and I think we've been so busy just trying to get everything ready and make sure that things are still happening here that I haven't hardly even thought about it. So I'm sure at some point, probably a month after we move, I'll wake up and realize we're not on holidays, and I'll be like, oh, what did we do? So then you can send me a message saying, you know, praying for you guys, thinking of you guys, that'll be really good. So today, I'll get into it. We're just starting off this series of visible, invisible. I'm kind of going to do a precursor to that the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about that more. It's really about our building, and I think it's a really kind of apt time and a really kind of cool little situation where we've just, it's kind of been put right in the front of everybody's minds, yeah? And people, the guys have been saying it already, but having been nomadic and moving around has really made us aware that this isn't the permanent home for us, yeah? And that God wants to do something. And I'm excited about that. You know, I'm really excited about what God is doing and the season that he has brought us in. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning. I want to start with a story. Good work, Luke. Spewing. He was here half the day yesterday fixing that. And then it's, anyway. So when I was younger, I played cricket. Some of you will have heard this story, but I don't care. We're moving to a country where nobody knows anything about cricket, so I have to use my cricket stories now. I've got to use them all, so it's going to be a long morning. And I think it was probably under 13s or under 12s or something, and we played against this team from Helensburgh, and they had this guy in their team, and he was very fast. Now, I was 12, so I don't know if he was really very fast or just for a 12-year-old he was fast, but I remember him clearly being at least 6'5". I think he pretty much looked like Mitchell Johnson. I don't know, like, you know, you get the picture. And he was just tearing through our cricket team. You know, we were okay. We were the best team ever. But I remember I was petrified of this fast bowler. And going out to bat, you know, everything, you know, padded up and all of that. And just the first ball he bowled. And it was just the fastest thing I think I'd ever seen in my life. And just freaking out. And so I did as all courageous 12-year-old cricketers do. And I started to just basically get out of the way. Now, I don't know if it was deliberate. I'm pretty sure it was malicious. No, I don't know if it was. He was starting to bowl them into the body. And so as I was backing away, I would get hit. And then because I was backing away, this is a lesson if you play cricket, and I'll get to that in a second. Because I was trying to get out of the way, I got hit several times in places where I was not wearing pads. And I remember having these huge bruises like this on my leg, like two or three of them. From that first week. Now, in junior cricket, we used to play over 2 weekends, yeah? So you'd have 2 innings, all of that. And so that meant that the next week, I had to go back again and face this guy again. And I've got these, like, you know, bruises like this on my leg from the cricket ball, and I'm freaking out. And so I remember going again and just, you know, I think I lasted maybe 3 balls the second time before he knocked the stumps over. And going away from that, there's a point to this story, so... Don't worry. It's a sad. It's not sad at the end. I recovered. I can walk. I still kept playing cricket. It's all right. We came away from that, and it spooked me for fast bowling. Now, I don't know if you've played cricket, but it can be intimidating. And so we came to cricket training, and at that time, Dad was helping coach our team, and so he did what all good fathers do. Which was say, okay, get in the nets, and I'm going to bowl as fast as I can at you so that you learn, yeah? So that you learn how to face it, yeah? And it's exactly what he did. And you know, where a mum would say, it's okay, let me help you, a father says, let me help you get over it. And so we got into the nets, and he taught me to step in to the fast bowling. Now that seems counterintuitive, but when you've got pads on your legs and you've got a bat and you've got a thigh guard, the safest thing you can do is step in and let it hit you on the leg and it doesn't hurt. When you start to run away and you open yourself up, you get hit here and here and everywhere and it's nasty, yeah? You with me on this? You understand? And so what he did was take what was this bad situation and this obstacle and this thing that had created a fear in my life and turn it around into a strength in my life. And then from then on, like, it took a little while and a few weeks of training, and my whole team hated my father, I think, because everybody, you know, it wasn't just me, we were all in this kind of same situation, so everybody got to face Dad in the nets. I think he did his shoulder trying to teach us a lesson. Serves him right. But, you know, at the end of that time, I had learned something really valuable, yeah? And that was that when things come against us, we can back away in fear or we can push forward with purpose and see some breakthrough, yeah? Now, this is a story about a kid playing cricket, but you can see how it links into our life, yeah? And it says in Romans 8, and if you got your Bible, you can really turn to it if you're quick. Romans 8 and verse 28 says that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. You know, I've been thinking about that this week, about how we can look at the building and the all of the stuff that's been happening and having to move around and having to deal with sound issues and all these other things and these obstacles, these things that get in the way, and how we have a choice in how we react, yeah? And we have a choice to back away and go, oh, okay, it's getting a bit hard now. Or we have a choice to press forward and trust God when he says that he will work all things together for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. And I don't know about you, but I know that I am loved by God and I am called by God. And so then I can trust God that I can walk in strength and confidence, knowing that He will work it together for good. Yeah, just like Dad used that hard circumstance of the 7 foot, 200 kilo, 12-year-old Helensburgh fast bowler. I don't know. All I'm saying is there's no drug testing in junior cricket. That's all I'm saying. Just as he grew me through that, God wants to grow us in the circumstances in our life, yeah? And so what we see as an obstacle, I think God sees as an opportunity to reveal His power and His purpose in our life. You know, what we see as an obstacle, as we see as something that's in the way, God says, actually, this is an opportunity for me to show you that I'm in control. That I have the power, not you. That I have the power, not the world. And it's an opportunity to fulfill my purpose in your life. Not the purpose that you think you want to have. Not the idea that you think you want to have. But my purpose in your life. And God wants to do that in us if we would trust Him and we would be willing to persevere and to step through the obstacle and see Him come through for us. Yeah? You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who's an old theologian, he calls it the crooked straight path. I think he stole it from an old hymn, but what he's saying is we have all of this stuff that happens in our lives, and this path seems really windy and crooked and doesn't make sense sometimes, but it's a straight path because God works all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Amen. And so what's happening is God is at work in our lives, yeah? And when we come to this point in this season in our church life, when we go, well, we've been in three buildings in the last 3 weeks, and it all seems crazy and we don't know what's doing, God is at work, yeah? And that these obstacles, these interruptions seem to be coming up, and all I see there is just an opportunity for God to move. All I see is this sign that God is at work and that He is doing something new in the life of our church. You know, you could even look at Mayor and I going to Cambodia and you know, we're involved here. We do stuff here. It costs to send people. Now, it's weird for me to say it about myself, but you can look at those situations and go, well, it's harder when somebody leaves, and it is. Yeah. But let's look at that, all of this as an opportunity where God is doing a new thing, yeah? And He is doing something incredible. And if we can persevere, if we can push through, if we can keep trusting in God, then He can turn those obstacles into testimonies of His love and His power and His purpose. Amen? Yeah. You know, the Bible is full of people who had this obstacle that was crazy, insurmountable, ridiculous, but that was used by God to do something fresh and something amazing, yeah? You know, Abraham, God says to him when he's like 90 years old, you're going to have a kid. You know, He says to Noah, you should build an ark, and Noah's like, I have never seen an ocean. You know, He says to Moses, take all the people down to the sea, and I will split it in half. Yeah, and you'll walk through on dry land. He says to Joseph, go and walk around the walls of Jericho that are insurmountable 7 times and I'll knock them down. You know, He says to David, go and kill Goliath with a rock. To Daniel, He says, yep, you'll be okay in the lion's den. Like, we know these stories, and there are all these stories in the Bible of people who faced these obstacles that seemed totally impossible, but where God moved in a powerful way in their life. And this morning, I want to look at Philip. So if you've got your Bible open to Acts chapter 8, and we're just going to hang out there. You know, I think the disciples and the early church was kind of defined by the obstacles and the interruptions to what was going on, yeah? You know, from the start, Jesus comes up to Peter and He says, you know, leave your boat and your job and your fishing and come and follow Me. And He interrupts it. And they're all going well and they think that Jesus is going to take over the world and it's great and they're on the winning team, and then Jesus dies and goes to heaven. And they're like, what? And then they start to build the church and they start to meet together. And then this is where we pick up the story. Then Stephen, who is one of the guys, he is stoned to death and persecution rises up in the church. And you're like, well, what is going on? Like, every single time it seems like it's all going well, it all starts to fall apart again. But it's in these obstacles that God reveals his purpose and where God turns them and works all things together for the good of those who love him, yeah? Are you with me? So Acts chapter 8, I'm just going to skip through because we've only got a few minutes left. So the church is persecuted, yeah? And it says that they were all scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So if you remember the Great Commission, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, go to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth, yeah? So it's not actually until the persecution comes that they start to fulfill the Great Commission, which is really profound, yeah? It's not until stuff starts to hit against us that I think we're forced to say, what's the thing that God has called me to? Now, we have a choice here, and these disciples, these followers of Jesus had a choice. They could say, well, it's getting tough. I'm going to back down now. We've been scattered. We're no longer able to just, you know, meet together and to do that, and so maybe we should just keep things quiet for a little while. Or they could say, no, we're going to press on and continue to do what God has called us to because we trust him and we believe in him because we believe that he will work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen. Amen. They trust that God can turn these obstacles into opportunities to reveal his power and fulfill his purpose. So we'll keep going. So it says that Philip, now Philip, I think this chapter is kind of Philip's interrupted ministry. Like, it's crazy. If you've read it before, we'll go through it anyway. But, like, basically every time he starts to do something, he's interrupted and has to go do something else, which sounds like life a lot of the time. Certainly sounds like a lot of my days. But God moves incredibly in him. Yeah. And we can look at obstacles and interruptions as inconveniences or as gifts that God is giving and that he is using for his purpose. Amen. So it says they were scattered. And this is what I want you to get. And if you get one thing from this message this morning, it says in verse 4, Acts chapter 8, it says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. Wherever you go, wherever we go, you get about his purpose. Yeah? That we would just continue to love God, that we would continue to love people, that we would continue to live for his purpose. You know, regardless of whether we have church in a hotel, in a uni hall, in a warehouse, in a nice new facility, in a primary school, wherever it is, whatever it is, wherever we go, if we are about fulfilling his purpose and if we would just continue to do what he has called us to do, then we can trust God to move in our lives, yeah? You know, regardless of where you are in your work situation or studying, if we would just continue to do the thing that God has called us to do, he can move in that situation. And so here's Philip, and he's been kicked out of Jerusalem, yeah? He has been scattered because people are going to kill them. It's not just a funny thing happening. Like, it's a real horrible situation. But instead of going and hiding out in Samaria, it says that they continued to preach the gospel. It says many people were healed, people were saved, and there was great joy in the city of Samaria. You know, what we see as an obstacle, God sees as an opportunity, yeah? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You with me?
Yeah, that's great.
Come on.
That's very good.
But I think it's a lot to do with the way that we react. Yeah, it's a lot to do with the way that we will engage with it. Am I going to back away in fear? Or am I going to start putting that front foot forward and stepping into the purpose that God has? Am I going to stop or am I going to continue to do? As the story goes on, there's all this stuff happens in Samaria. That's for another time. It says, then an angel of the Lord says to Philip in verse 26, go south to the road, the desert road that leads down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So Philip is having real success in Samaria. And if it was me, I would be keen to stay. No? You know, you go somewhere, people are getting healed, people are getting saved, it's awesome, it's all happening, you're building a church, and then God says, all right, you should go now. Like, well, come on, man. I already got kicked out of Jerusalem, and I've kind of got everything going again. Now you want me to go down this other road? And so he does it because he's obedient, yeah? Because obedience is probably the best thing that we could ever do to live for God. And so it says, as he's going along, he meets this Ethiopian who knows nothing about God but has been reading the law. And Philip sits with him. I'm just paraphrasing these stories. You can read them for yourself. And Philip sits with him and he explains how the prophets are all pointing to Jesus and how this whole book of the law was all about saying we can't do it by ourselves, but through Jesus we are saved. And he talks to this Ethiopian guy and he shares the whole story and he makes a decision to follow Jesus. And then right there and then this guy says, well, let's get baptized. There's some water over there. Will you baptize me because I want this new life? And so Philip has this amazing encounter on this road with this Ethiopian guy where he is saved and baptized. Now, again, and if you know the story, you know where this is going, but again, I would be like, okay, great. He's made a decision. He's been baptized. Now it's like, let's start a small group together. Let's do some good discipleship. You know, maybe we'll start a church here in this random town. Maybe he'll go back to his hometown. Maybe I should go and help out, you know, because he's just a new Christian and he needs something. But what happens, it says in verse 39, when they came up out of the water, so he's just baptized the guy. It says, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. He didn't care. He's like, I'm fine. I can do it. I've got God with me. It says that Philip, however, appeared at Azotus, and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So, yet again, Philip is interrupted. You know, sometimes the obstacles in our life are from the world, their persecutions, their hardships, their things like that. Sometimes they're interruptions from God where he says, I'm going to do something new with you. But either way, what does Philip do? He continues to preach the gospel. All he does, all it says is he does, is everywhere that he goes, he continues to serve God. No matter what the situation, no matter what's going on, he continues to serve God, amen? And that is our calling. That is what we are designed to do, is to love God, to love people, to live for his purpose. And so let's not let interruptions and obstacles stop us, but let's see them how God sees them, yeah, as these opportunities. Now, when we come to our building and to the vision around that, we can see that as an obstacle or an interruption to our plans. Oh, if I give in the building fund, then, you know, that's my savings, or that's something that I've been trying to do for myself, or it means I can't do this or I can't do that. We can see it like that, or we can say, I've got an opportunity here to be a part of something that God's doing. And I'm going to be like Philip, who just continues to preach the gospel, continues to do what he's called to do. Now, whatever our calling is, we are all called to serve God and to love him and to love people. And so, Let's do that, amen. I want to finish just with one more story from the Bible, really quick. You know, we never know the impact that the obstacles in our life might have. Jesus tells this story of a guy that's walking along a road, and he gets beaten up by these robbers, yeah? And it says that he's lying there on the road, and he's sick, and he's dying, he's injured, and a priest comes along, and the priest is too busy to be interrupted, yeah? And he walks along, he keeps going. He ignores it, he keeps walking. And then it says a Levite, another religious guy, comes along. Because Jesus was really having a go at these religious guys, which is relevant for us. You know, let's not be religious, but let's serve God, yeah? So he comes along, and he sees this guy on the road, and he walks away, he walks to the other side of the road, and he walks past, and it says, then a Samaritan comes along. Now, this is where Philip went, Samaria, the Samaritans. These are the guys that the Jews hated. And he says that the Samaritan stopped, and he took care of this guy, and he took him to a hotel, and he paid his for his room and anything else that he needed. And Jesus says, who was the neighbor in this story? And so my encouragement for us, I guess, as we close, is we don't know the impact that something that looks like an interruption to us might be on somebody else. My inconvenience might be someone else's life-saving moment. Yeah? And that excites me. So let's not be too caught up in our purpose that we miss the things that God's putting in front of us. Let's not be so worried about our own lives that when obstacles come, when inconveniences come, we back away in fear. But let's be confident that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. Yeah. I think Philip understood this, yeah? That he was called according to his purpose, that he was loved by God and that he loved God. And so God was going to work it all out. And so he was free to just keep going. So let's be like him. Let's be like this Samaritan who doesn't see the interruption as a bad thing, but as an opportunity to show God's love to somebody. Now we're out of time, so you can apply that how you will, but I just want to encourage you with that. Leave encouraged that God has it under control. That whatever situation you're facing in your life, he has it under control, and it is his hand that is on everything. Let's pray, hey. God, we just thank you so much for everything that you have done for us. God, we're sorry for the times where we back away in fear instead of leaning into your purpose and your grace. God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the calling that you've put on each of our lives. God, help us to just continue to go about doing what you have called us to, no matter the obstacle. God, whether it's as a church and it's the building and it's all these things that are happening, whether it's in our personal lives, whether it's family stuff or work stuff or health stuff, God, we give it all to you right now and we trust in you, God, that you will work all things together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so, God, we know that's us this morning and we take claim to that. But God, help us to live in courage and to keep doing what you have called us to. Thank you, Lord. Now, before we close every week, we give an opportunity to get right with God and to pray a prayer like the Ethiopian did on the road with Philip, where as Philip started to explain to him who Jesus was and is, something was stirring in his heart, yeah, and he gave his life to God. And so we want to do that this morning. Maybe you've made a decision for Jesus before and you feel far from him. Maybe you've never prayed something like this before in your life. I don't know where you're at in your heart. But we're all going to pray it together because we're a church, we're a family, we do things together. So everyone will repeat after me. But if you want to pray that in a fresh way or for the first time, then you do that from your heart. Not just just as a thing, as a tradition or as a thing that we do, but as a real connection between you and God. You know, God is listening to our prayers. Amen. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that and it's fresh for you, then come and chat to somebody, talk to the friend that you came with, come and talk to us or one of the welcome team. We've got this book called Following Jesus, which is really simple and it just kind of guides you through the Bible and what it says about different topics and different points of kind of application in your life. But make sure that you talk to someone. If you're brought a friend, if you're here with someone, grab it for them and do make that easy, because Christian life is not meant to be lived alone, but in community and with support. So let's do that together. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from Cedar Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.